Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Hey, the computer guy in this morning as we talk techs in the burg and technology. Number of things to talk about this morning, and I guess first of all, recycling electronics, a good topic. A lot of us don't think about this, but it really needs to, especially with us, so many people with electronic equipment. You got to think, and you got to be smart about recycling this stuff.
Yes, and a lot of this stuff has the cell phones, the laptops, the PCs and printers and monitors, they've become disposable. It used to be you had a computer, you would have it for years and years and years, and I used to tell people that buy the best you can and keep it for as long as possible. Now it's the exact opposite. The average lifespan of a computer is about 4 or 5 years. And the landfills are getting crushed with the influx of thousands and hundreds of thousands of used electronic devices, the cell phones, the laptops, etc. And if without recycling, this stuff is really, really dangerous to be in a landfill. There's lead, there's mercury, arsenic, there's all kinds of heavy metals that leach into the ground. And it's a tragedy, virtually. It's a real big sticking point with me. I really, really want people to recycle this stuff because it's our home, so to speak, the earth. And if you vacuum your house, you clean the windows, you keep your house good, then we trash our big home, the earth.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense to me. So, and it's so easy to recycle. Not as easy as just throwing a laptop in a trash can, which is unthinkable to me, but it's really, really easy to recycle these days. Best Buy, Staples, Apple stores, there are a lot of retail electronics outlets recycle laptops, PCs, cell phones. They might have some stipulations of how many you can bring and what exactly you can bring, but everyone should do their own due diligence when going to a Best Buy or Staples or Apple store or whatever to make sure that they will handle what you're bringing them. But it's convenient. We have the recycling center off Bellman Road. They recycle electronics. Yeah. And it can give them a new use. A lot of times there's a lot of components that can be stripped out. A lot of the metals can be stripped out and reused. Anything is better than this stuff winding up in a landfill, leaching into the soil and poisoning everything.
Yeah, you don't think about that, but whether it's the components or batteries or all kinds of things, it's really a major problem.
It's a tremendous problem. What would I call it? Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Because normally we don't go to a landfill. We don't see landfills every single day and how bad everything, how much stuff is there. But it's there. We just don't see it and don't think about it all the time. But if you're getting rid of a cell phone or you're getting rid of a laptop or a TV or anything electronic, do a little due diligence, spend a little extra time and recycle it properly. We have a professional recycling service at our office, and I demand that everything that leaves that office, junk, is recycled properly. And that can be an inconvenience for me. I mean, we have a big dumpster outside. I could take it, everything, and just throw in that in 5 minutes. But that's to me, it's the height of irresponsibility. And it's everybody's duty to try to lessen this burden on the landfills with all this electronic e-waste. And it's, like I said, Staples, Best Buy, Apple, there's a lot of retailers that take stuff and will recycle it for free for you. And I hope people, if there's like 20 or 30% of the population does not recycle.
Wow.
And yeah, that's a lot. And that's thousands of tons of electronic waste just laying in the ground, leaching heavy metals into the ground. And that's a shame. And I hope if we can get one person out there to recycle that wasn't going to recycle, that this is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Boy, and that number, if that number doesn't go down, like you say, this is going to become a real serious problem. It already is a problem.
And everything is ramping up even more because there's more computer users, more high-definition TVs, really intricate cell phones, all this electronic stuff that's constantly recycled, constantly. The life cycle is very short for cell phones, for laptops, for PCs. And every 5 years, there's tons and tons of stuff, electronics thrown out. And if it's done properly, it's not perfect, but it's infinitely better than just leaching into the soil and poisoning the environment.
Sure, sure. Well, and then the other thing, Dave, too, is you just sometimes if you just toss it, you're setting yourself up. There's valuable or personal information on those computers sometimes too, and to just toss them and not even think about it, you're setting yourself up for exposing yourself.
There's a lot of people that do that, Ted. They will just toss something. They're like, well, I don't care, and they just don't want to bother with it.
Yeah.
What I like to do, I like to take the hard drives out, whether it's a laptop or a PC. The hard drives are very small. They're either a 2.5-inch old-style IDE platter hard drives in a laptop, or 3.5-inch platter drives in a PC, or the new little memory chips, which are real, real small. And once you have it out, you can put it in a box, a shoe box, just label it.
Yeah.
It's a good backup. Keep it. Then recycle the rest of the electronics. That, to me, is the perfect thing to do, because I like to keep an old hard drive instead of erasing it and tossing it. I'd rather keep it, and it's a good, if it's still working, it's a good backup. You never know
right.
when it might come in handy. And it's so small, it takes up virtually no space. And you can just put it in a dresser drawer or something and forget about it. But you never know when you're going to need it. And I'd rather do that than have that somewhere with somebody rummaging through a trash pile and come across and go, oh, what's on this hard drive?
Right. Yeah. And I guess a lot of people do it because we all are relatively new still with this, with technology and, getting rid of technology, and in a lot of cases, hopefully our kids will know better, and that will stem some of this tide.
The kids do know better, and they grow up with this. I mean, I've watched my nieces and nephews grow up, and they're configuring Wi-Fi networks, by 10 or 12 years old. They're doing all kinds of stuff and trying to tell me my business. No, Uncle David, you did this wrong. You do this. I'm like, what? Excuse me? No, I did not do this wrong. Let me show you something. These young whippersnappers, 10, 12 years old, they know everything. But when you grow up with the technology, it's a lot different than the way we grew up.
I was going to say, because we started dealing with this, in our 20s and 30s. And, like you say, kids before they're even going to school now are being exposed to a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, little kids, they'll have smartphones.
Yeah.
They'll have a laptop or an Apple MacBook Pro or something. And it's part of daily life now, all this technology. It's what people do all day.
But I'm glad we started off the show by talking about the recycling component, because you may get something. You may be getting a new computer or something. A new laptop or a PC, something, or a tablet, something over the holidays, and you'll think, well, I can transition out of this old piece of equipment. think about, you know, like you say, look at options. Don't just you know, toss it in the trash and take it to the landfill. Do something responsible.
No, and like I said, Ted, it's fairly easy. It's fairly convenient. Staples, Best Buy, they will take the laptops and PCs. And another thing that that I hadn't thought a whole lot about was the TVs. People go through, yeah. The TVs these days are disposable. They've become so inexpensive, but they're large and they have a lot of bad stuff, the lead, mercury, and all kinds of heavy metals in them that leach into the ground. And definitely recycle if you're getting a new TV. One of my TVs broke a few weeks ago, got another one. I'm shocked how inexpensive TVs are.
Oh, I know.
Are.
Yes.
You know, $200 or $300 uh-huh. to get a nice big TV. It's unbelievable. But these TVs, that's another part of the puzzle for e-waste. These things are huge, yep. and they take up a lot of space, and they're just horrible. Those definitely need to be recycled.
Now, I took a picture of my Christmas tree, and the TV was in the background, and somebody immediately commented on it and said, wow, that's a small TV. You ought to get a bigger one. I hadn't even thought about it, but, you know, it's those kinds of things. And you're right. The bigger TVs now that a few years ago were thousands of dollars are just a few hundred.
Yes. I remember it was about 15 or 17 years ago. I had a client who the business, they bought a 42-inch Panasonic plasma TV. It was about $4,000 or $5,000 back then, and now you'd be hard pressed to spend that much on any TV, literally. Yeah. And but for $200 or $300, you can get at least a 50-55-inch TV, beautiful picture, and weighs like 20 pounds.
Right.
I remember these cathode ray tube TVs. Oh, when I was a little kid, we had like a 19-inch little black and white thing, then a 19-inch color. Then I remember in the 70s, my father bought, I think it was a 24, 25-inch RCA console TV. I thought that was the biggest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I remember my uncle came over and said, Clyde, my father's name, that's the biggest TV I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it was 25 inches. Think of that today.
Yeah.
If you bought a 25 inch TV, I'd be struggling, straining my eyes trying to see it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they were heavy, and yeah, but like you said, but yeah, the TVs especially contain so many things. So if you're changing that out or you get one for Christmas, you know, do the responsible thing and safely recycle.
Recycle with a professional recycling service, and just, if nothing else, do that. That's a wonderful thing.
TexinTheBurg.com, that's where you can find out more about Dave the Computer Guy. Also, they've got a Facebook page with all kinds of information. 505 Lafayette Boulevard, TexinTheBurg. Dave the Computer Guy with us this morning. Quick break. We've got much more to talk about. On News Talk 1230 WFVA, it is now just about 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Dave, the Computer Guy, in this morning, Tex in the Burg in downtown Fredericksburg, 505 Lafayette Boulevard, texintheburg.com. To get in touch with Dave and all of his good stuff. Staying safe on the internet in the new year, Dave. This is always a topic and really a crusade on your part. And you always are telling me it's not that difficult if you just think before you leap in some of these things.
Yes, there's a few things people can do to become infinitely more safe on the internet, and they're very inexpensive, very straightforward and not time consuming to implement. One of the first things, and we've talked about this extensively over the last few years, a good antivirus. Windows comes with Windows Defender, which is much better than it used to be. there are still other things out there, free and paid, that are that I would use over Windows Defender. Bitdefender is a really good one. Norton, McAfee. There's a bunch of really, really good antiviruses. Make sure you have a good antivirus on your PC or laptop. Another thing is password managers. I've seen people, they'll have little scraps of paper under their keyboard with passwords on it, and just helter-skelter passwords with some are very easy to guess, some are moderately complex, but and then they'll lose them. They don't know. Then they got to reset their password and possibly expose more information on the internet. Just get a password manager. There are free ones. There's paid ones. Even the paid ones are very, very inexpensive. A good antivirus and a good password manager are essential to really, really be safe on the internet. You do those two things and add one more thing to the piece of the puzzle, then you're going to be about as safe as you're going to get on the internet. The third thing is safe. I call it safe computer browsing. Because people will click open emails, they'll click on any link that they see on their computer screen without thinking. And think of antivirus and the password managers or like airbags and seatbelts in an automobile. Well, that's all well and good, but if you drive that car into an oak tree, you know, there's only so much a seatbelt or an airbag is going to do for you. And you can have a password manager, you can have good antivirus, but if you do risky stuff on the internet, you still can get your identity stolen, your bank account cleaned out. When you're using a computer, especially doing anything serious, banking, stock trades, QuickBooks, anything like that, do not do it in a rush. I've seen people tend to make mistakes and do things that are a little bit out of character sometimes when they're stressed or just really rushing. Try not to do that when you're on the computer. That's a recipe for disaster. And a lot of bad things happen because people are busy, not thinking clearly, and they're clicking on stuff without giving it a second thought. And next thing I know, they've been hacked. Their identity's been stolen. And so calm down. Be slow and methodical with the computer. Use it safely. That's a big key component. And everything else would be secondary because no matter what you do, it's up to everyone's own individual browsing habit, so to speak, to keep them safe.
What I like about this, Dave, is there's so many things, because I think a lot of us just think it's impossible to stay safe, you know, and I'm just always dodging bullets. But to break this down into three things, and all really easy things, really go a long way to protecting you. We talk about the Wild West, and it certainly is, but there are things that we can all do, and these are all so easy to do.
Yeah, these are sort of like locks on your house, alarm systems, vaccinations for your body.
Yeah.
These are just a bunch of safeguards for you. But it's like driving a car. You can put on your seatbelt. You have airbags all over the place. Pay attention to the road. Don't drive distracted. The same thing with using a computer. Don't be distracted. Don't be in a rush. Don't click on stuff. I've had accountants open, I mean, really, really good accountants, open emails from that said they were from the IRS. The IRS does not send out emails like this. And she got a virus and almost wrecked her firm. And because she wasn't thinking and probably in a rush. And so it's these type of things that can really, really help us stay safe on the internet. No matter what we do, if you're on the internet, you're never absolutely 100% safe. But a password manager, good antivirus, and good computer habits will go a long way. You will be ahead of the game, so to speak, as far as staying safe next year on the internet. And every day that goes by, it seems to get more dangerous.
Yeah.
So we really have to do due diligence to protect our own interests.
Well, and it's expensive and time consuming, and like you say, in some cases, you know, you could bring a business down.
Oh yes, and it can bring a family down, Ted. I've seen families lose tens and tens of thousands of dollars. They were not able to get it back. Got the police, got the FBI involved. The money's gone. It was not going to come back, and that is a shame. And it was all because of one click on the computer. They see a phone number or something. They call this phone number, and then Pandora's box opens, and this criminal has their bank account. They let them on the computer, get the bank account information, clean everything out, and they're overseas behind 10 different firewalls throughout the internet. There's no way you're going to get them for the most part, and the money's gone.
And like you say, it's so easy. Have an antivirus, have a password manager, and a safe computer browsing. You do those things, and you're ahead of the game.
Much better than the average computer user. And it's not that hard, Ted.
Right.
The password managers are $1, $2, $3, $4 a month. Antivirus is not that much. And safe computer browsing is free.
Right. Yes. You do. That those three, just to set it up like that, makes it so doable. We should also mention, just as we, with the holidays here, and you might be having grandchildren or... You've got company. Be careful about letting people use your computer and just exposing yourself to that, because you, over the years, you have some classic commercials talking about these kinds of things, and having other people use your computer, even if they're family members or close friends, can really result in some bad things.
Yes, we've talked about this in some previous shows, where if you have If the mother or father in the family does the finances on a particular computer, that computer is off limits to the kids, to neighbors, to family, to friends, anyone. That should be just for that. Do not let anyone on that computer, if you do banking, stock trading, all that kind of stuff on it, and have another computer, call it maybe a burner computer almost, where... Okay, you can play games on it. You can do this or that or whatever. It's not going to affect, or banking institutions or stock trading places, Charles Schwab or whatever. And that's just crazy to do that kind of financial stuff on a computer and then have kids play games on it or have your next door neighbor browsing the internet on it or something. No. Have another computer for the kids that they can do what they want. And it's not the end of the world if something happens. At least it doesn't bring the whole family down. And on top of that is something I wanted to talk about. Because of the holidays, everyone has friends and family and guests over at their house. Put them on the guest Wi-Fi. Don't put them on your regular Wi-Fi in the house. That will segregate them. So if there's something going on with their laptop or PC or whatever, it does not become your family's problem.
Interesting. The guest Wi-Fi, that can be the lifesaver for you.
Absolutely. And it's real, real easy to do. And it's free also. Every Wi-Fi router you can enable a guest network. And that is the way to handle guests or relatives that come over to your house. Put them on the guest Wi-Fi.
Dave, the computer guy, here this morning. When we talk about, we hear so much about AI these days. Are you there? You okay?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay.
What'd you say?
We hear so much about AI these days,
Dave. Oh, AI. Yes. Yep. I'm sorry. I had an alarm going off.
That's what I heard. I was worried for a second.
And with AI, a lot of people think it's sort of like some type of mysterious thing. What is AI? I hear about it and everything. Actually, most people use a form of AI every day, whether it's Alexa, whether it's Siri, Copilot with Microsoft. Yep. And it used to be in the past, computers were are binary, zeros and ones. And everything's black and white, so to speak. You put in some data, it spits out one answer, and that is it. Now computers are actually, they're becoming so powerful, the programs are so powerful and intricate, they're developing personalities and can actually learn and improve their output, what the information we're looking for, what it spits out to us. And they're learning, and this it's really, really interesting how this has transpired, and it's how helpful it is to
absolutely.
And it's just, I think it's a wonderful thing, but it's really, really powerful, and it's hard to say where it's all going to lead, because, like, you know, when if you ever saw that movie Terminator 2, are we headed towards that? Doubtful. But no one really can predict in 5 or 10 years what AI is going to be doing and what have the capabilities to do. And so this is going to be interesting the next few years.
You're right, though. There's a lot of us get concerned and worried about it. And there are there definitely are some concerning aspects that I'm sure over the next year we'll talk about. But we have been using it, just like you say. You might not have realized it, but that's AI.
Yes. Yes, it is. And if you use Siri, if you use Copilot, that's a form of AI. And so it's become a part of daily life now, and to go hand in hand with that, at data centers, because data centers are all the rage, all the talk these days. They're going in Prince William County, they're going in Stafford, they're all over the place, and they're popping up everywhere across the country, and that goes hand in hand with the expanding use of AI, because that. We need data centers.
Right.
With all the data actually that computers use now for AI and the massive computers that run these very, very complex programs, that is paramount. There's going to be a tremendous amount of data center growth in the next 5 years. It's going to explode, Ted. Absolutely explode. And I've been watching several stocks, IT companies, NVIDIA, Taiwan Semiconductor, and, Intel, Microsoft,
yeah.
AMD. These stocks are, I'm not going to give stock advice, but I tell my relatives, buy these stocks and hold them for 5 or 10 years. You're going to make some money.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
This is going to explode in the next 5 or 10 years.
Yep. No, and it's in the more that we demand and the more that we use, that's why one of the reasons the data centers are needed.
Yes, and it's becoming almost exponentially the growth. It's amazing how this stuff is growing, and the amount that people just love to browse the internet, get data, look something up, and if you have a question, look it up on the internet, Google it, use Copilot, see what it spits out to you. That data all has to reside somewhere and come from somewhere, and that's going to be data centers. And it's just, and even the smartphones, they become so complex. You can do almost anything on the smartphones. And it's pretty amazing how things are growing so rapidly right now. And I remember about 15 years ago on the radio, I said, I think this is going to happen in the next few years. And that was, to me, pretty easy to see. The 5 or 10 years out now is very, very murky to me, because things can, with AI, it is changing so rapidly. I don't think anyone really knows what's going to be going on in 5 or 10 years with it. It's that powerful, and it's that the growth is that unbelievable.
Oh, it is. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And someone like you who has you know, literally grown up and seen all of this go, to see data centers and AI and what's happening has to be mind-boggling.
It is, and to see these data centers, I've worked at several IT departments over the past 20 or 30 years, and we might have 5, 10, 20 servers in, you know, a big server room and everything, expensive stuff and everything, but nothing like a data center. We got literally thousands of computers stuffed into a big building. And it just unbelievable power and storage in these things. They cost a lot of money. And that's another thing when we were talking about e-waste, these computers don't last forever either in the data centers. They're going to have to be recycled. They're going to have to be taken out and recycled. Mm. And the e-waste is absolutely exploding. And AI is changing everything.
Dave the Computer Guy here with Tex and the Burke. Quick break. We'll come back and wrap this up this morning. Talk about bargains. If you're still looking for a computer, for a holiday bargain on computers, Dave will talk about it when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Burg. TexintheBurg.com. They're at 505 Lafayette Boulevard. Give Dave a call. You can call him at 371-2874. Check him out on the internet. Check him out on Facebook. Nobody better than Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Burg. You always, usually each month, Dave, have information on us for bargains. And I'm sure there still are a few bargains if you're out looking for a computer before the holidays.
Yep, if there's some stragglers out there that haven't finished their Christmas shopping, like me, for one, there are some really, really good bargains out there, Ted. I like to shop at Staples and Best Buy. Sometimes they have some really, really good sales. Staples, I'm a little surprised. They have a fabulous sale going on right now. I'm not sure how long it's going to go on, so if you need a laptop or something, definitely check this out. One thing, there's a few that really stick out to me, the laptops at Staples. There's a 15-inch HP laptop, 256 gig solid-state drive, i3 processor, for $229.
Mm.
This would make a fabulous gift for a teenager,
yeah,
middle school, high schooler, even a college student. This wouldn't be a bad laptop. And it's regularly $529 on sale for $229. You cannot beat that with a stick. That is just an outrageous price. Wonderful gift for anybody. I mean, it's a nice general use, general purpose laptop. Another one is a 17-inch HP laptop at Staples. Virtually the same specs except for a 512 gigabyte solid state drive. It's regularly $580 on sale for $350. And that is another fabulous bargain. So for $229 or $350, you can get a laptop that'll do 95% of whatever somebody's going to use the laptop for. These aren't going to be speed-deeming gaming laptops. But for general use, for browsing the internet, Word, Excel, Outlook, etc., more than enough. Really, really good. And you don't break the bank. And in 3 or 4 or 5 years, they're going to be a paperweight literally anyway. So buy the least expensive thing that will do the job.
Mm. So it's exciting that there's still some great deals. So if you have not been able to find anything or have put it off, there still are some things to check out.
Yes. I love the $229 one. That is a nice laptop.
Yeah.
If I needed one, I would buy this. Let's put it that way. I like it that much, and at that price, it's a steal.
Dave the Computer Guy with Tex in the Burg. Dave, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Appreciate all your help, your friendship. We look forward to this every month.
Ted, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Fredericksburg.
Dave the Computer Guy, Tex in the Berg, 505 Lafayette Boulevard, TexintheBerg.com. That's it for the show today.
Thanks for listening.
See you tomorrow.
Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Greenline Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.